Welcome to Future Proof, the marketing podcast from Kantar, the world's leading marketing data and analytics company, and Side Business School, University of Oxford. In each episode, we speak with marketing leaders and share insights to help brands and business leaders navigate the ever-changing marketing landscape and hopefully dispel some myths and misconceptions along the way.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So hello and welcome to this episode of Future Proof. I'm Dr. Nikki Morley. Today I'm delighted to be joined by several of my colleagues from Kantar who've co-authored our Connected Innovation booklet. This is designed to show innovators how to best innovate in a meaningfully different way to drive growth. Why would we call it Connected Innovation? Because Kantar Brands eData tells us that brands that build from strong foundations, create great advertising, and create meaningfully different experiences are those most likely to grow. But there's a second meaning to it as well, because having a connected red thread from brand to innovation to experience to execution and a connected team is the secret to great innovation. Hence why I have lots of people joining me today that have a breadth of expertise in different areas of innovation. They say it takes a village. So for this podcast, I brought the family with me to discuss the topic of connected innovation. So welcome, everybody. John, if you'd like to introduce yourself first, and then I've got a question for you. What's your favourite innovation?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my name is John Portsmouth. I'm a senior innovation director here at Kantar. My favourite innovation is not a brand per se. Well, it was a brand once, but I don't know the brand. But it was when the first person put wheels on a suitcase. The reason I love that is it's so simple. It solves a consumer tension in a really kind of concise, simple, cost-efficient way. Back in the day, people would have just carried their heavy luggage around an airport. And if you go to an airport now, I task you to count everyone who's carrying their luggage. I bet you it's a number you can count on your hands.
Brilliant. Thanks, John. Sarah.
Thanks, Nikki. So I'm Sarah Morell. I'm a senior client lead in the UK creative team. So I focus on app testing, and I've got a particular interest in purpose and sustainability focused advertising. So my favourite innovation comes from that space. It's the Unilever household cleaning brand Cif, and specifically it's its Eco Refill, which is this nifty little bottle of concentrated Cif liquid that you put on top of an existing bottle. So an empty one that you've already used, and then you've refilled it with water. And you release this really colourful shot into the water, and you end up with the same product mix as if you bought a new bottle of Cif. And obviously, it reduces the plastic that you're using. Plus, it's really pretty, and it's like having a little science experiment in your own home. So I really like that.
Lovely. Thanks, Sarah, for that one. I knew you'd have a good Unilever one. Tell me, Pete.
Hi, Pete Aitken, Head of Customer Strategy here at Kantar in the UK. So my favourite innovation was when Uber launched, and on the app you had that little taxi that you could see coming towards you. And you could firstly open the app and you see them all around, and you think there's so many possibilities for getting home. And when you tapped and you got one comes, it comes towards you. It was like magic. It was like nothing you've ever seen before. Usually you'd be calling up and they'd tell you it's going to be here in 10 minutes, and you kind of hold them at trust, but it's always 10 minutes. Whereas here you could actually see that it was going to be 10 minutes. So the expectations management that they, you know, were able to put in place, that you can see where it's coming. You don't feel like you need to call up again and say, where's my taxi? It's been 10 minutes. And you know where you need to go and stand for it to arrive. It was fantastic.
Perfect example for a CX expert there. And now, I don't usually get to comment much on these, but today I'm going to have my own favourite innovation. And the one I'm going to talk about is an old one, but a good one. It was Method cleaning products. At the time, I worked in R&D, and the category codes were very sort of opaque, creamy liquids. And, you know, you knew that these products were doing a good job because they smelt like they were doing a good job. And the challenge was often they left streaks, but they were really effective. So Method came in and broke all the category codes, focused on fragrance, natural products. So sustainability came as a gift. Sarah, you'll like that one. Beautiful packaging, transparent, emotional connections. You know, they met the needs in a completely different way and have really opened up the category. And now you see a wealth of products in that space, such as Zeflora. So definitely, I think our innovations really fitted sort of our expertise there, didn't they? So let's get into the chapters. Connected Innovation's got four chapters. The first chapter is about building from strong foundations. John, tell me more about how brands can build from strong foundations.
Yes, absolutely. I think what this really comes down to is understanding what your brand's about, understanding who your target audiences are, understanding what you are trying to do to appeal to them. And when we look across the different dimensions by which we kind of measure strong brands, so the extent to which they're meaningful, the extent to which they're different, the extent to which they're salient, what we see is that whilst all of those three of those are important, actually difference is the thing that kind of drives abnormally high brand growth. And when we deep dive down into that a bit more, it's not just difference. We see that innovation actually is the rocket fuel for difference. So we see abnormally high brand growth from brands who are able to position themselves as different, but even more so when they're also able to demonstrate innovative behaviors. Now, when we see a lot of brands trying to do difference, what we see consistently is you can't do difference arbitrarily. You can't just do difference for the sake of difference. And what that means is not only does it have to be within the guardrails of your brand, it also has to be meeting a need. It has to be meaningful in that sense. And actually, what this all really comes back to the point of is understanding what your brand is about, understanding what you as a brand have license to do and how you can be different within that framework. And a really good example of this, an example that I'm sure everyone cool already loves, is Bailey's. So Bailey's had a brand image problem a few years ago. They were kind of this slightly old, potentially slightly fusty, back-of-the-cupboard drink that would come out on seasonal occasions. It'd be the sort of thing that your grandma would take out of the cupboard at Christmas time and you'd have a glass. And they did a whole load of work to understand what their brand's about. And what it came down to really was the pursuit of pleasure. So that was why people drank Bailey's. It was this idea of pursuing a kind of a pleasurable, consumable experience. And what they did was they managed to innovate around that purpose, right? So they innovated a whole portfolio and a whole kind of range around the pursuit of pleasure. And they launched a whole load of extensions to their portfolio. So the Bailey's Colada, the Deliciously Light, and all of these hit on different seasonality, kind of different consumer needs within that category. And we saw, as a result of that, extreme excess growth for the Bailey brand. They completely refreshed what the brand was about, and they saw the commercial success that came with that. But again, it's really going back to what they did so well. It was really about understanding what their brand was about, understanding what a compelling positioning they could build around was.
Brilliant. And you know, I love that example of Bailey's because, yeah, they reframe what they're in the business of, which is a classic example. And actually, Diageo do that very well, don't they? But it's not enough to have a good product, is it, Sarah? You know, all innovation, you know, we've talked about this, all innovation really does deserve good advertising. So how do clients get it right?
Well, as you say, Nikki, it isn't enough to have a great new product. We've been talking about some brilliant new products, but having a great innovation doesn't guarantee that launch advertising is going to be equally great and ultimately deliver success for the brand. It goes back to what you mentioned at the beginning about having that connected red thread. And from a advertising point of view, the connection that brands need to be making really is making sure that the launch campaign for an innovation really properly reflects that innovation's meaningful difference. And when we look at our leak testing database and we look specifically for new product advertising, we can see that to drive short-term sales, new product advertising is more reliant on being persuasive than advertising for established brands. Obviously, it's got to do that job of getting consumers to make a purchase decision. So it's really important that it can have that predisposition effect. But what's really then important is to get that predisposition, is to highlight what's different about your innovation. And John mentioned the importance of difference. So really highlighting that difference in the launch advertising is really crucial. And particularly when we look at new products or we look at line extensions, it's not just important that you highlight the difference, but it's that that difference is seen to fit with the brand. So my lesson number one would be to make sure that your difference is clearly communicated and clearly connected to your brand. So that's the first thing I'd say. And then secondly, and related to this idea of clarity, if you like, it's about making sure that you're showcasing your product and its benefits in a really super easy way for consumers to understand, and having the brand right at the heart of that creative, so that we're not confusing them with multiple messages. We're not confusing them with a story where they need to work too hard to really discover what brand the ad is talking about, because we all know that our brains are lazy and that we need to make things as straightforward for consumers as possible to help that purchase decision. And then my third lesson would be in that when you're showing off your product, really make sure that you pay close attention to the actual product demo. Lots of ads have product demos in. I think it's over 90, 95, 96% of the ads that we test actually include some form of product demo. But you've got to make sure that demo is engaging. You've got to make sure that it really lands a clear sense of the product's functional benefits. And again, make sure that the demo has a reason to be there and is really pivotal to the story, I'd say.
Brilliant. And what I love about that, though, that's all data-led, as you say, from the link database. And yeah, we found some interesting stats when we opened the cupboard in there, didn't we? And you're right, it was about sort of 95% of them had a demo. And actually, Sarah, there was a large percentage of them that actually had a product featured in them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just about showing the products. It's about showing the product being used, being consumed, being part of the consumer's routine. So actually connecting to consumers in a way that makes the product more relevant.
Fantastic. Great advice. So Peter, an important topic to my heart and to yours, you know, tell me about that, how important it is to think about experience when innovating. I think all too often people don't consider the experience of the innovation itself.
Yeah. And I think it's about understanding the experience that you're innovating for. I'd probably put it down to sort of three areas. There's observing, there's users, and then there's the reality, the messy reality in which you're launching into. I think as far as observing, understanding how people experience what's currently available, what their needs are, what kind of challenges that they've got, and using that to inform, you know, what's the white space, what's the place you're trying to move into, and what's something that's additional that will solve that need. And then when you're designing the users, you ultimately need to be designing for usage and thinking about how people will interact and respond to whatever's being created. And then thirdly, the messy reality that you of launching it, you don't quite know how people will respond to it. You can design as hard as you can, but you never really know until it's in situ, until it's live, you know, if it's going to work. And so it's really important that you can get something live quite quickly, that, or at least something that's testable really quickly, so that you can learn from it in reality, evolve it and get it to the next stage. And so those are the main things, you know, observing, you know, understanding users and accept the messy reality, I think are the sort of the three areas where, you know, understanding experience is vital for innovation.
Thank you.
So Nikki, there's a lot of talk going on at the moment around AI, artificial intelligence. One of the things we see is people can get distracted by this, right? People can get distracted by the emerging tech and all of the weird and wonderful things it might be able to do. I suppose, how do we leverage AI in an effective way? How do we leverage it in a way that is right to help us understand how to kind of drive meaningful difference?
Actually, you're right. And I think, you know, AI, machine learning, sort of generative AI, amazing thing, and as a real opportunity to sort of make a real difference to innovation, not only in terms of efficiencies, but also in terms of making new connections. But you're right, we just need to make sure that people aren't distracted from it in just creating meaningful different innovations. And I think I was lucky enough to be able to interview as part of this booklet Professor Roberto Viganti. So he gave us some really sage advice about the way to sort of understand potential new uses of AI for innovation. And he challenged innovators to overcome what he called the substitution effect. And this is the idea that taking what you already do and trying to infuse a bit of AI into it. And, you know, he gives an analogy to the film industry. And before that, sort of, there was theatre. And what happened when the film industry developed is people took the theatre and just put it through the medium of a film. And it wasn't until later that people realised the amazing things that film you could do with film beyond just showing people in a theatre through the medium of film. So it took the industry a while to think differently. And he gives really sort of wise advice about thinking about the new meaning. Why would somebody want to buy your product because it's been infused with AI in some sort of way? And overcoming that, I think, is the main hurdle to get people, to stop people being distracted. And I think the other important piece of advice is not to forget the human in the system. When we looked at some concepts generated by ChatGPT and we put them through our AI systems, we were able to actually identify that all ChatGPT was doing was just piling on the benefits. It learned how to write a good concept by piling on the benefits. But in actual fact, the human written concepts actually did better because they understood how to write a concept in a way, the right value proposition, rather than just offering lots and lots of benefits. So again, it's about not forgetting the human in the system as you are using AI for development. And thanks, John, for asking me a question. No one ever asked me a question on a podcast. Thank you. So that's a lot of information for everyone to take in. Let's leave people with some simple takeaways from this. So, John, what's your big takeaway for clients?
I think if I was to summarise in as concise and clear a way as I can, difference is critical for driving growth. You can't be different arbitrarily. Difference has to have meaning, and it has to be something you have license to do. And all of that starts with your brand, starts with understanding the guardrails of your brand.
Thanks. Sarah?
So I'd say that from a launch advertising point of view, it's really important that marketers remember that creative quality is the most important variable that's actually under their control. So they need to remember that they do have that control there. And if they focus on clearly demonstrating their brand's connected difference, so that link to the brand in that launch campaign, then they have a much better chance of creating a great launch campaign to go alongside that great innovation.
Great. I think learn. Yeah, I think learn from people, how they interact with it, what's out there. Be curious about how they interact with the world. But also be willing to learn from the things that you launch. Be willing to accept that it might not be right first time and you need to evolve it. So learn.
Brilliant. My favourite words. Curiosity, learn, and difference. So yeah, thank you guys for joining me. It's really nice to have sort of like a little Kantar family do this podcast. So yeah, all remains to say is thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, pleasure to be with you.
You've been listening to Future Proof from Kantar and Side Business School. For all episodes and more information, visit kantar.com or oxfordfutureofmarketing.com. If you enjoyed this, please leave us a rating and a review and subscribe on your favourite podcast app so you never miss an episode.